Welcome to MTSU On the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. Winchester native Troy Gibson was an intern in Al Gore's Washington office when the former vice president was a member of Congress. Gibson, who was a 1986 alumnus of MTSU, has followed Gore throughout his career, tracking his accomplishments in areas ranging from organ transplantation to infant formula, from supercomputers to arms control. Gibson has written a book about his former mentor titled From Carthage to Oslo, A Biography of Al Gore. We'll talk with Gibson about the Carthage native who emerged from one of the most polarizing election defeats of all time to winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, after these words from MTSUnews.com. Troy, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Gina. Appreciate it.
How did you come to meet Al Gore, who, incidentally, I should mention, is a former professor at MTSU?
Yes, that's true. Well, it was a chance encounter in 1976. I was a 12-year-old in the summer of 1976. And Vice President Gore at that time had made a surprise announcement to run for the U.S. Congress. Joel Evans had retired from Congress, kind of a surprise announcement at that time. And so Mr. Gore was on a campaign swing through rural Franklin County, Tennessee, and I was staying at a general store of my grandparents and that they ran, and he just stopped by with one of his campaign aides, and I just had the chance encounter, as I said, and I just immediately took a liking to him, and I just knew I was meeting someone special.
What impressed you about him?
Well, his communication skills. You know, when he went into a room, it seemed like it would light up. And I know a lot of politicians have been compared to John Kennedy. He just had the charisma, communication skills, very smart. He just amazed me, and that I was interested in politics before I met him, but when I met him, his presence was kind of overwhelming for a 12-year-old.
How did you come to intern with him?
Well, of course, in 76, I volunteered to work in his campaign. After I met him, I went home and told my parents that I had met him. Of course, they knew his father, former Senator Albert Gore Sr., and my grandparents also were familiar with him. In fact, they had him for lunch a couple times when he was campaigning in his Senate races. I just kind of followed him around. And in that summer of 76, of course, he went on to win over a field of 8 or 9 candidates. Stanley Rogers, state representative from Manchester, was his prime competition in the Democratic primary. And back in those days, if you won the Democratic primary, then you went on to win because there was little, if no, token opposition from the Republican Party. But I just volunteered in his campaign in 76 and then in 78. And then I decided to study political science here at MTSU. And when I had my first semester here, I interned with him in his Washington office, and it just went from there.
Did you get the internship through MTSU's program?
Yes. In fact, Dr. David Grubbs was the department chair at that time here at Middle Tennessee, and I went through his class and got the internship.
What were your duties and responsibilities working in the Gore office?
Well, I was basically a caseworker, and by that I mean we would go through constituent files, help constituents with federal matters, whether it be Federal Communications Commission issues or Social Security, Veterans Affairs, just the daily constituent services. Also attended a lot of open meetings with Congressman Gore, his open meetings that he conducted across the 4th congressional district. And later on, it became the 6th congressional district after the redistricting.
So you and your fellow aides helped with those, what might be termed little things that constituents really want their congressman to take care of for them, but they're not little things at all, because constituent service is what gets you put back in office again and again and again. That's what people remember, because you touched them personally.
That's correct. That's correct. And Vice President Gore, as you probably know, was very good at that. He was certainly, he didn't invent the open town meetings, but he made them popular again. You know, it was not uncommon to see 150 people at an open meeting. He had them in Murfreesboro, you know, Winchester, all throughout the district.
What were your impressions of his personality and character traits as you watched him work after he got elected?
Well, I've never seen a more dedicated and disciplined politician. I've been around politicians for most of my life. Whether they be, you know, judges or congressmen or senators. And I've never seen anyone with a work ethic, but also the intelligence. I think with Vice President Gore, his intelligence just came out. I mean, it was very clear that he was not an ordinary politician. He could have been a lawyer. He could have been a professor. He could have, and he was a professor, has been a professor. He could have done anything he wanted to do. He's really the smartest person I've ever worked with.
How well did you get to know the Gore family? Not only Al's family with Tipper, but also Albert Sr. and Miss Pauline and Nancy.
I met them all, but I was a little closer to Tipper. I knew her very well and knew all the children. I didn't know, I met his father, of course, but I didn't get to know him as well.
We'll be back with more on MTSU on the Record right after this.
The Tennessee Civil War National Heritage Area is managed by MTSU's Center for Historic Preservation. A partnership unit of the National Park Service, the Heritage Area tells the whole story of America's greatest challenge, offering assistance with Civil War and Reconstruction era programs. Our projects include historic driving tours, museum exhibits, and nominations to the National Register of Historic Places. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with MTSU alumnus Troy Gibson, who is the author of From Carthage to Oslo, a biography of Al Gore. He interned with Al Gore when Gore was in Congress. How soon, Troy, did you get wind of the possibility that Al would be placed on the 1992 ticket with Bill Clinton, or did you just learn when everybody else did?
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. In the spring of 92, as Governor Clinton of Arkansas was running for the Democratic nomination and securing the nomination, I accompanied Senator Gore in Winchester. So we were riding in a police car, and we were talking about Ross Perot, who was running, as you know, at that time also as an independent. We had a conversation about that. But at that time, and this was probably April of 92, the senator had no clue that Governor Clinton would make that announcement. And as you probably know, Senator Gore was kind of a rival with Governor Clinton. They were both considered the up-and-coming Democratic Party candidates for presidential candidates. And of course, Senator Gore had run, as you know, for president in 1988 and finished third. He did a very good job with small resources at that time. But at that time, he didn't know that he was gonna run. But I guess I found out about it in June of 92, July of 92. And the word started coming down through his staff, and there were a lot of rumors. And then the Tennessean, the Nashville Banner, picked up word on it. And so a lot of the news reporters camped out outside of Al's house in Carthage. And so it was a media frenzy at that time. But I can tell you that he wasn't aware of it in April or you know, the spring of 92. I think it came as a surprise to him. He knew he was on the list Later on that summer, Governor Clinton had narrowed it down to like 15 candidates. So he knew that he was being vetted through the vetting process, if you will. But I think he was shocked.
You know, the conventional wisdom is that for a presidential ticket, there has to be a geographical balance, one person from one part of the country and another person from another part of the country on the ticket.
Yes.
Was there any trepidation about having an all-Southern ticket among the people in Al's circle?
Well, not in Senator Gore's circle, per se, but certainly the National Democratic Party had some reservations. But I think looking back, and President Clinton has said this himself, it actually was a generational type candidacy. It transpired, it wasn't just a regional thing. Even though they were both from the South, they were considered, they were baby boomers, of course. But I think that was one of the great things about Governor Clinton in selecting Senator Gore. It defied the logic, the political logic, and if you look back in the polls after he selected Senator Gore, Clinton rose in the polls significantly, about a 10-12 point increase.
What do you think Gore brought to the ticket?
Well, he brought a number of things. He was considered an expert on the environment, of course, but not only that, but science and technology. He had been chairman of the Science and Technology Subcommittee in the House of Representatives and Congress. So he was very familiar with NASA, with science, aerospace. And also he had served in Vietnam, and that's something, as we know, that President Clinton did not do. And so I think that helped President Clinton, obviously.
What do you think Gore brought to the vice presidency?
Nuclear arms control is one of the things that a lot of people overlook. One of the significant things that Vice President Gore did was when President Reagan was negotiating with the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, he adopted Senator Gore's proposal to reduce the number of nuclear warheads on the missiles. And so he played a significant role in nuclear arms, but also the environment. He was the author and sponsor of the Superfund bill of 1980, and you had mentioned earlier the Organ Donor Network Act of 1984, and then on computer technology. I still, to this day, I don't think Vice President Gore gets enough credit for what he did in ushering in the Internet. And so without his leadership, we would have probably been 8 or 10 years away from where we got to be in the Clinton administration with telecommunications and the Internet.
Of course, as you know, it was widely reported that as the end of the 8 years approached, Clinton and Gore had a falling out. Can you tell us anything about that, why that happened?
Well, there was some tension. I talk a little bit about that in the book. The Monica Lewinsky affair, I mean, let's be honest, it upset a lot of people. It upset Hillary, obviously. And even though President Clinton, in my opinion, will go down in history as one of the best presidents we ever had, at that time his popularity went down. We're talking 97, 98. So and my personal view, and I'm not speaking for the vice president, but I personally think that the Lewinsky affair did affect the Vice President Gore's popularity. But as the Vice President said, he takes responsibility for the loss. There's a number of issues that we go into detail in the book about the election and losing Florida, Ralph Nader being a spoiler, if you will. I think he cost the Vice President New Hampshire. Tennessee's another state that that the vice president should have carried. He knows that. Mm-hmm. And in hindsight, maybe, you know, the campaign would have been run a little differently. But there was some tension in the campaign. In any presidential election, as you know, you're going to have some tension on both sides. President Clinton was trying to give him advice, but Vice President Gore is his own man, and he wanted to run his own campaign. So I don't think he has any regrets on that.
We'll be back to talk more about the election of 2000 in just a moment. This is MTSU on the Record.
The mission of the June Anderson Center for Women and Non-Traditional Students is to provide education, advocacy, direct services, outreach, and programming for the MTSU campus and surrounding community on gender-related issues. The center also assists older students who are trying to balance work, college, and family. It also sponsors a monthly legal clinic, career brown bag series, book club, and a newsletter twice a year. For all of the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
Our guest today is Troy Gibson, who is the author of From Carthage to Oslo, a biography of Al Gore. He's a 1986 alumnus of MTSU and a former intern in Gore's Washington office. What is your personal view of the 2000 election results out of Florida and Ohio? Nobody was charged, to the best of my recollection, with bribery or election fraud, and yet to this day there are Democrats who believe that there were some illegal shenanigans going on.
It's been widely reported. A lot of books have been written about it. There were four primary counties in southern Florida, around Palm Beach, Miami, Dade County, that basically cost Vice President Gore the election. But there are a lot of other unknown things that went on across the state that a lot of people don't know about or have forgotten about. The overseas ballots, for instance, one of Vice President Gore's aides came to him early on after the recount had started in Florida and said that there were approximately 3,000 ballots, overseas ballots, that had been counted, but they had missed the deadline. In other words, they were supposed to be in the election office like on the 27th or something, and they were late. But the vice president was very adamant about not wanting to exclude those ballots because there were military ballots involved in those overseas ballots, and he just felt that there'd be no way that he could serve as president if those ballots were counted, and a majority of them were military ballots. There were also some other counties where the black voters' votes were undercounted, if you will. But it's, you know, we have quite a bit of coverage in the book on that. Mm-hmm. We'll let the readers make their own decisions on that, I guess.
Well, eventually, after the Supreme Court decision in Bush v. Gore, Al Gore and some other supporters figured, well, the country needs to rest and there shouldn't be any more fighting about it. We need to heal. Do you think that, in retrospect, was that the right position to take? Because some Democrats wanted him to keep fighting it out.
Yes, in retrospect, I think it was one of his finest moments. I really honestly do. This thing went on for about a month, and certainly he could have appealed the decision. But once the Supreme Court ruled, there was really not much that he could have done. I mean, it could have gone before Congress, but the Republicans controlled, I believe, the House at that time. So if it had gone to the House of Representatives, the likely outcome would have been the same. But I really think Vice President Gore handled that very well. He gave it his best shot. He knows in his heart that more people went to Florida that day on Election Day, on that Tuesday, with the intent of voting for him. as President of the United States. And he will forever know that in his heart. But I think he just realized that, like you had said earlier, that it was probably best for the country to end it. It was unprecedented exercise that the nation had gone through, and people were becoming tired. But certainly there were a lot of people in the Democrat Party that wanted him to go on, but I think the decision was correct.
Do you think that Al Gore's winning the Nobel Peace Prize for his activism on climate change was some kind of a Pyrrhic victory to him after taking so much guff as he had from people who don't believe that global warming is scientifically valid?
Yes, I do. Winning the Nobel Peace Prize was kind of a moral victory for him and for all of us that believe in the global warming and climate change. And so I think he was vindicated with that.
What do you think about how the 2000 election changed Al Gore as a person? Because when we saw Al Gore after the 2000 election, he gained weight, he grew a beard. It must have had some kind of an emotional toll on him with which he was trying to grapple.
Oh, sure it did. I mean, he's told me, you know, he battled depression for a little while. I mean, I think any of us under the circumstances coming that close to being president of the United States would have gone through a various, number of emotional experiences. I think he was tired. He was emotionally spent, and I think he just kind of let his hair down, if you will. And it was like, so what? I think he was. I don't think it changed him as a person. I think after the first 6 months to a year, he kind of got over the emotional pain. Now, certainly, he will never get over it totally to come that close and not win. I think he thought he would probably run again. He had not made up his decision or his mind in 2001. So it took a long process before he came to the conclusion that he wouldn't run again.
We'll take one more brief break and be back to wrap things up on MTSU on the Record after this.
MTSU's Jewish and Holocaust Studies minor offers undergraduate students a chance to study the culture and religion of the Jewish people and the Holocaust in an interdisciplinary program. Studies include history and culture, theology and philosophy, and the arts and social sciences. Courses tackle vital topics central to local and global awareness, including multiculturalism and the meanings of diversity, religious tolerance, and genocide. For the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
In our remaining moments with Troy Gibson, MTSU alumnus and author of From Carthage to Oslo, a biography of Al Gore, what do you think about Al Gore selling Current TV to Al Jazeera?
Well, I think it was a good business move. The fact is, Vice President Gore spent 25 to 30 years in the public service, making a pretty good salary, but certainly not what the CEOs make. As I alluded to earlier, Vice President Gore could have gone into any field he wanted to. He could have become the next Steve Jobs if he had not gone into Congress. I really believe that. So I know it was controversial in some with some people, but I think a lot of people are jealous of the best Vice President. Maybe that could be. And it's not just Current TV. Current TV was actually one of his many projects that he was working on, but Generation Investment, he's the CEO of that. He's also, as you know, on the board of Apple Computer, also advisor to Google. So he's worked very hard, and in fact, his schedule is almost as busy as when he was vice president. It's amazing.
Do you think that Tennesseans have as much of a favorable impression of Al Gore as they might have when he was a young congressman or as he was running for elective office for the very first time? The bent of the state politically seems to be tending more and more conservative.
Yeah, well, you know, Tennessee has always been a conservative to moderate state, mostly moderate to conservative. It's never really been a liberal state, but certainly, as you alluded to, the last 10, 15, 20 years, it has gone from blue to purple to red now. I think it's just one of those generational things. I think in another 10 years, we may see the Democrats take control. It has a lot to do with the voter dynamics. If you look nationally, the Republican Party is kind of in trouble because they're not looking at the minorities, women, and Hispanics. And without the Republican Party changing on their behalf with some of their platforms, it's going to be hard for them to win the presidency. So while Tennessee's going through kind of a trend with the Republicans, I think in another 10 to 15 years it will probably change back and forth. But certainly Tennessee's always been kind of a moderate to conservative state. But I think most people in Tennessee, they either like the vice president or they don't. There's not a lot of middle ground, but he's got a lot of support here. But unfortunately, I think most of the citizens today have forgot really what he did do for the 4th Congressional District here and the 6th Congressional District in Murfreesboro and the state of Tennessee. And if they read my book, they'll be reminded. And, Vice President Gore's critics have to give him credit that he is an amazing, gifted politician. And, they may not like him, but certainly they have to give him credit for what he has done.
The book is called From Carthage to Oslo, A Biography of Al Gore by Troy Gibson. That's Gibson, not Gibson.
Available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
And all of the usual places in cyberspace and beyond.
Exactly.
Thanks for being with us today, Troy.
Well, thank you, Jen. It's been my pleasure.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.